Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a garden expert, a horticulturist, landscape designer, and garden author. I just love anything to do with gardening. I love to get out there and help others garden too. So I am so glad you're joining us this morning. It is a beautiful morning, going to be a beautiful weekend, and I'm saying hello to beautiful Lizzie. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. It is a beautiful day because I came in and somebody brought me orange juice, Teresa, and she brought me some Chick-fil-A. Teresa, thank you. And so how was your birthday?
Our birthday was fantastic. It was it's been a busy week. I want to say hello to the Claremont Garden Club who helped me celebrate my birthday. I did a talk there on my birthday, and they were just so fun to see, and I saw so many friends there. It was just wonderful. And also the Gainesville Garden Club. I did a talk there this week, and they were all great. And so I love talking to groups, garden groups. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a great week. My wonderful husband made me my favorite dinner and dessert.
Okay.
For my birthday. I get this once a year.
All right.
Whether I'm good or not.
What is it?
He makes me the real Hawaiian steak that Houston's used to sell at the restaurant.
What?
And it is so good. He marinates the steak for 2 days, and we have baked potatoes with everything on it. I mean, the baked potato could be a meal on its own. And then he makes me my favorite cake.
Which is
a lemon cake. He makes it from scratch. 3 layers, lemon cake with raspberry and mascarpone filling.
Yum.
And lemon icing. And it is so good. So we're really good about it, though, because I only have a couple of slices for my birthday week. And then Tony wraps it up in wax paper, slices it up in little squares, and then we freeze it. And I get to have it for like the next 3 to 6 months, if it lasts 6 months. But I don't eat it all at one time. So this is my one cake a year. And so I'm very pleased. So.
One cake a year that lasts all year long. That sounds like me.
So I've had a really great time. So this has been a great week. We went to see the America concert, which was full of all gray-haired people. And it was really a lot of fun.
Aww.
But the music was fantastic. And so we just had a really great time. The 70s music rocked.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yes. 100%.
Yeah, 70s rocked. And so it was a great week. So we're going to have a beautiful weekend and a beautiful Thanksgiving. The weather is going to be wonderful. It's going to stay a little warm. It's going to stay for most of the state in the 80s, 60s at night. Up in the panhandle, you're going to drop down probably into the high 50s, but not too long. It's going to be a beautiful week. No rain, though. So we're in a drought situation. Florida is we need the rain, and this year we did not get any storms, which I'm very thankful for. You know, that's going to be my big one of yes. my big thanks for Thanksgiving, is that we're not having any tropical storms, but we need it. And so we really need to hopefully get some rain in the next few weeks. Next weekend may be possible. South Florida and Key West, you're probably going to get rain Saturday and Sunday. But you know what? We need to irrigate once a week right now and make sure that we're getting that 1 inch down. That's going to be helpful.
Yes.
And everybody's going to have a great, beautiful week. It'll be a great week for traveling. And so I'm very pleased with that. So not a lot of gardening chores this week. Again, irrigating. And this is a good time to make sure you're not irrigating your driveway, asphalt, the road, you know, those hardscapes do not grow better when they're watered. And so, you know, you just want to make sure that your irrigation is going in the right direction. We've got to be thankful for our water supply because we are so blessed to have a great resources for water and water quality and water quantity. We need to be good stewards of it. So, you know, just make sure it's going in the right location and that you're not overusing it, especially when we're in a drought. People tend to think, oh, I've got to water more, or my grass is dying because we're not getting the rainfall. Not exactly. You know, if you have been overwatering your lawn, and a good indication of that is that you have dollar weed and lots of weeds, and that your grass starts to wilt the minute it doesn't get water. So the grasses that are going to die first in a drought are the ones that are overwatered. And so we do not need to up the amount of water we're using a week. We just need to water on a regular basis, one time a week, 1 inch. I'll give you 1.5 inches to 2 inches. You know, and we could, that's all the grass needs. The more you water your lawn and shrubs, the less they're going to be sustainable and need, and they're going to definitely need the water. So the minute it gets shut off or we go into a drought, it's going to be the first one that dies. Okay, so we have the warm temperatures going on. We're going to be pretty good for November with the, you know, it's going to stay right around the 70s after next week and 60s. But it's a La Nina winter. And so that means that it's not going to be too cold, and we're not going to have a lot of rain. It's going to be a dry winter.
Wow.
So we're going to go into the dry spring with a lack of water. So we're going to be back. It is Thanksgiving week. We're going to be taking your questions this next hour, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. You can call us and tell us what you're thankful for in your garden. We'd love to hear that. You can also text us 23680. We'll talk about it. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and if you would like to call with your gardening question, we would love to hear from you. 1-888-455-2967. We have a great second hour guest, Jenny Rose Carey, a wonderful, renowned garden designer, landscape garden author, and she is going to be with us. But this morning, we're talking about your gardening questions, and I just wanted to say this last year, I've been very, very thankful for Lizzie, for you. You've been wonderful.
Thank you.
And Tom McCubbin. I am so grateful to Tom McCubbin for everything that he's done for me to support me. And I love him coming on the show. And when I am not here, he is a great, great, great host. Yes. And I love doing that. So good morning, Tom, if you're listening. Hopefully he's sound asleep and he is relaxing and enjoying the weekend. And so, but I also wanted to make everyone very well aware of the conservation efforts in Florida. And we have numerous organizations that are dedicated to protecting and preserving the natural landscapes, wildlife, ecosystems, and especially the Florida Wildlife Corridor. So I just wanted to talk a few minutes about that we have so much beautiful land in Florida that is wilderness, and we see the development going on, but I don't think enough attention is paid to all the organizations and the Florida landowners who are preserving their property and donating it and dedicating it to conservation. And so I wanted just to mention a few of those that we're very thankful for. So Conservation Florida is a statewide land conservation, a conservancy that focuses on protecting Florida's natural and agricultural landscapes. We just heard a Fresh from Florida farmers commercial, and we have wonderful cattle ranchers and growers here in Florida that help protect Florida's resources. And these farms and nurseries and land that we grow our vegetables on for the world is a great wildlife sanctuary, and they protect the land. So Conservation Florida leads conservation projects across over 100,000 acres, and it aims to connect and protect the Florida Wildlife Corridor ensuring the preservation of vital ecosystems for wildlife for future generations. And when we say the Florida Wildlife Corridor, this is area that wildlife needs to roam, to have available to them so that they can survive and be healthy and their populations grow. The Florida panther needs over one Florida male panther needs over 500 acres of land to roam and to be healthy and to mate.
Wow.
That's a lot of land.
Is there even any that much land left in Florida?
Yes, exactly. And so the Conservation Florida does protect over 100,000 acres. The Nature Conservancy in Florida has been around for about 60 years, and they have protected more than 1.2 million acres of vulnerable lands and waters, and we've got to be very thankful for that. The Florida Wildlife Federation also is a great organization that's dedicated to conserving Florida's wildlife through advocacy and science-based stewardship. Stewardship is very important. The Conservancy of Southwest Florida protects the natural environment of Southwest Florida, and they work on environmental science, education, wildlife rehabilitation, and public policy advocacy. So they are currently running a significant campaign to enhance the sustainability of their conservation efforts. And then the Florida Land Stewardship Partnership is a network of landowners, extension agents, and natural resource professionals that help manage private lands for long-term benefits to donate to the state so that building and development will not occur on these lands. And it's very important. And one of those is the Landowner Assistance Program, and then also the Rural and Family Lands Protection Program, and the Florida Wildlife Corridor Foundation, Florida Forever, which is the Department of Environmental Protection. It specifies that the Florida Wildlife Corridor is an existing physical, geographically defined area comprised of over 18 million acres, of which 10 million acres are protected conservation lands. That's very important. And then the University of Florida Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, they offer a comprehensive program to help private landowners manage their lands for environmental integrity and economic value through the Natural Resource Leadership Institute, which I am an alumna of, and it is just a great program. So recently, the Drake Ranch is one of the largest conservation easements of any private land in Marion County. And so in 2002, the Drake brothers preserved 5,800 acres of their ranch by placing it in that conservation easement with the Southwest Florida Water Management District, where its natural lands would never be developed. And our water management districts are just a genuine benefit to the state, that they work with landowners to preserve these huge ranch properties. And so Horse Farms Forever is just a great organization that worked with the Drake family, and the ranch holds significant conservation value as it protects 6.5 miles on the east side of the scenic Withlacoochee River, and it's part of the Gum Slough Project that encompasses 23,000 acres of pristine uplands and primeval wetlands that help protect the quality of the river and provide for wildlife habitat. So I want to say thank you to the Marion County Commissioners who approved this property donation and the protection of the land, but also to the Drake family for thinking about the future legacy of their land and donating it to the conservation program. So we just have to be really, really, really blessed for that, and be thankful for that, and get involved if you can. So let's go to Lynn in Merritt Island. Good morning, Lynn. How are you?
Good morning, darling. I just want to wish you a happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you, I heard you talk about your husband did this lemon cake.
Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
And I can't even believe that. That is so sweet. Such a fabulous man.
He is.
And I wonder, What else did you say that other than the lemon? That tell me what.
Okay,
other
so this is a three layer lemon cake, and then the filling is raspberry preserves and mascarpone.
Oh, gosh.
Mascarpone, and then it has lemon icing on the outside. It is absolutely to die for. It's just wonderful.
And then it has lemon icing on the top.
Lemon icing all over the cake.
How wonderful. The reason I'm calling this morning, I want to tell you, you do a fabulous job.
Well, thank you.
I've been listening to Tom McCubbin for ever and ever and ever. I am very proud owner of property for 47 years here.
Oh, wonderful.
And I have started everything from that itty-bitty little weed or whatever to make my yard the most wonderful yard in the area, and got an award a couple years ago for that. But I had to go to the hospital in this last year, and I spent a lot of time there because of a screw-up. But anyway, I'm working my way through that. But when I came back, I have a guy that has mowed my yard for a long time now. And, you know, I have weeds to the left of me, weeds diagonally across from me in the front yard. And when I came back, I was, like, devastated because my yard was just, the part of it was just awful. And so today, I know I'm having a man come out and pull these huge clumps of, what are those weeds that are like grass that are just huge clumps?
Yeah, it could be some sedge. It could be nut sedge. There's a bunch of different weeds, so they could have just taken hold. Yeah, and they get big.
Well, I told them what I needed to have. I came from Oklahoma, and I told them what I needed to have is I needed to have my yard rototilled, because that's what we used to do in Oklahoma and Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm going to have him pull all these weeds up today.
Okay.
And my girlfriend told me yesterday, I went and got black cow.
Yes.
And I said, I've got to pull up all these viney weeds and everything, but I wanted to water it really well. Then I wanted to put in my black cow, and then I wanted to just leave it so that hopefully when it comes time to grow more, that I could put, you know, could go down and put little, you know, seeds.
Sure.
I mean, not seeds, but put, you know, plant, what do you call that? Cut up the pieces.
Oh, the little plugs, the little sod plugs?
Yeah, the plugs. I wanted to do that, but my girlfriend said, you're doing this wrong. You should not put black cow on it. And I'm like, well, when I pull it all up, it's so barren, and I wanted to water it real good before the guy came to pull it all up, and then have him pull them up, and then put the, you know, I could put the plugs in now, and then put the black cow in.
No. So you're doing everything right, okay? So we don't, Lynn, listen to neighbors for advice. Is that not right, Liz?
Unless Therese Watkins is your neighbor.
And so you're doing everything right, but I don't want you to rototill, okay? Unlike Oklahoma, which has no seeds at the bottom of their ground, you know, Florida has seeds going, you know, tens of feet down in the ground. And when we rototill, we bring up those seeds to the top surface and they germinate. So not necessarily rototill, but clear off the weeds. Have your man pull off the weeds. That's very good. Then you can put the black cow in there. And then if you're not ready to put the plugs in, which you can go ahead and put the plugs in right away. That's fine. But then you could also just mulch it very lightly. And, you know, water it once a week, and it'll be just fine. How's that sound, Lynn?
That sounds wonderful.
All right, hon. Thank you for the birthday wishes. We so appreciate it. Here's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give us a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, 1-888-455-2967, or text 23680. And we'd love to have your phone call. I wanted just to follow up with Lynn and just tell her, putting black cow in the ground, you do it before you plant the plugs. That is fine. That will be great, for especially if your soils are sandy right there in Merritt Island. That would be a good thing. So let us know how you do, Lynn. Let's go to Jay in Orlando. Good morning, Jay. How can I help you?
Yes, I have a lychee tree that has completely, it's a nice size, about 7 feet tall, wide. But it's got brown spots underneath all the leaves. Even the new ones coming out have brown spots underneath. And on the top of the leaf is all indentations or hard nodules right above the brown spots.
Right. It sounds like it does have a disease issue, and lychees are susceptible to several fungus and viruses. And so what I would like to do, I'd like to see a photo of it. If you could send that to me. And Jay, that would be great. If not, I would like you to take it into the extension office and have them look at a visible leaf. That way they're going to be able to give you the proper, solutions for it. But let me just tell you, you just want to make sure you're not watering at night. Okay. You want it, your lychee tree to be dry at night. And then how often are you fertilizing it?
Twice a year.
Okay. It just depends on the amount. So I would say at 7 feet tall that it needs a good pound each time you fertilize it. So I don't know if you're putting that down or not. And so you want to make sure that it's healthy enough to resist the diseases. We have so many humidity and, issues with the rainfall, but also with keeping the insects off of it, that it gets very stressed out. So the solution is that the leaves are probably going to fall off for the winter time. We get a couple of cold snaps and they'll fall off and just start next year. But you want to make sure if you need to put a fungicide on it to help prevent it in the future. Okay, so you can send me an email. To teresa.watkins@live.com. I can help you further, and I'll be able to give you a couple of chemicals that can help prevent it from spreading.
And how do you spell Teresa? Is there an H in there? Or?
No, there's no H. It's teresa.watkins, WATKINS, at live.com.
At what?
At live, LIVE.com.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jay. Let's go to Bill in Ocala. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Hello. Good morning.
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just great, Bill.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, I've got two Majesty palms. They're in really big pots. And we had the cold snap, and I didn't think it was going to be that severe. It got to 29 degrees for about 2 hours. And it took its toll. The fronds have lost their color. They're starting to yellow out. Now I have new fronds coming out. They're definitely not dead or anything like that. But is there anything I can do to get color back into the fronds?
No, those fronds are not going to green back up again. So they're damaged, and it could be from the wind, winter wind. But also, too, the 29 degrees really zapped them. They really like temperatures. Don't go below 40 degrees. Okay, so go ahead and just what I would do is water it well. You don't want it to be dehydrated from the wind that it received. Water it well, and then I would not fertilize it until springtime. But just keep an eye on it. Leave those fronds on as long as they have any bit of green in them. Okay, so if they're just yellowing and there's still green on it, you don't have to cut them off. If they turn completely brown, then you can go ahead and cut them off. But you're just going to have to wait. Now, can they be moved inside for future freezes?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I would definitely do that. Yeah, no, we were expecting a really cold frost, so I'm expecting to see some damage in palms, especially up there where you are in Marion County.
Okay.
Okay.
About?
Nothing really to do.
Manganese sulfate and magnesium sulfate.
Yeah. Well, I would do. You also, yes, exactly. It does need magnesium and sulfur, but it's also going to need boron. So I would use a palm fertilizer that has those micronutrients in it.
Okay.
Okay, but don't do that until next spring. You don't want to encourage new growth while it's still in wintertime.
All right. Makes total sense.
Thank you so much, Bill.
I didn't realize they were that susceptible to the temps.
Oh, yeah. They are. Yeah. We're in subtropic. So they like that zone 10 and 11 where it doesn't get below 40 degrees.
Okay.
All right, hon. Thank you. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine. You need to give Lizzie 3 shots of espresso. Because when she answered the phone, she said, "Good morning, Orlando."
And
I started laughing.
She's a creature of habit.
Would you please give her 3 shots?
I will.
Anyway, I have 2 things to tell you about.
Okay.
I poinsettia.
Mm-hmm.
How do I separate the branches?
So why do you want to separate them?
Because that's what Lizzie does.
Whoa, wait, what?
Don't you separate the branches of your poinsettia?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Well, okay. I'm confused then.
Okay. How many espressos have you had? Poinsettias don't get separated. So I'm just kind of interested in, okay, so.
I'm trying to think of, there's something else that she also, I think, had. She and I were on the phone a few weeks ago or a week ago. I know what she's talking about. So sometimes if you actually, whenever you're buying
plants,
if you look down in the soil, you can see if they,
they plant 2 and 3 in the same pot.
So that's, I'm sorry about that. Yes.
Okay. So now I understand. All right. So
now you need 3 shots.
Now I need 3 shots. I've got my cup of tea here. So sometimes, especially with holiday plants and other indoor plants, they like to make a nice, thick, dense pot. So they'll put 2 or 3 plants in one pot, and like the crotons. When you buy a croton, there's usually 3 plants in that croton. So if you want to divide them up that way, if your poinsettia has more than one in a pot, what you would do is slip the pot off very gently,
okay.
Turn it on its side, and kind of take your fingers and run through it and separate the root system of those individual plants that are in there, because the root system grows together in the pots. And so just very gently separate it, and then you can put them in individual pots or plant them in the ground. But I would say, Eileen, right now, because it's Christmas time, I wouldn't do that until the springtime.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to do it now because the poinsettias are pretty looking now, and you don't want to disturb them and send them into shock, because it will send them into a little bit of a shock, okay? Gotta run. Thank you so much, Eileen. Happy Thanksgiving. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top 5.
And my top 5 this week is my top 5 colorful fall shrubs. Number 5, crotons. These grow in zone 10 to 11. They're oranges, reds, yellows, black, and green. Perfect fall colors. They're a tropical ornamental with varieties that can go from 3 feet tall to 10 feet tall. Number 4, oakleaf hydrangeas, zone 5 to 9. Beautiful, beautiful native plant that is native to the southeast United States. Has beautiful oak-shaped leaves, and it has a beautiful purple, red, and bronze fall color. Number 3, autumn encore azaleas. These azaleas were developed by Robert Buddy Lee, and they are perfect for zone 6 to 10. They take full sun and bloom 3 times a year, especially during the fall. Number two, Firebush Lime Sizzler. Perfect orange fall colors. Full sun, zones 9A to 11B. And they are just wonderful, deer resistant. And then number one, Nandina Obsession. Zone 6A to 10B, part sun to shade, 3 to 4 feet high. And it is a non-invasive Nandina. Beautiful. Only gets to be 3 to 4 feet high by 3 to 4 feet wide. Beautiful bright red foliage, deer resistant. So that's my top five fall shrubs for fall color.
That's some good, some very good fall color right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And so you'll see them out. Let's go to Bill in Ormond Beach. How can I help you, Bill?
Good morning, Teresa. I've got a, I forget what the actual name is, for the dwarf,
Pygmy date palm?
Pygmy date, you got it. And what was the actual name for it?
Pygmy date palm. It's a Phoenix Robellini.
Robellini, that's what I was trying to think of. Anyway, it's looking really sad. Obviously, it's a nutrient deficiency. Is there like a quick fix for something like that?
Okay, so is it inside or outside?
It's outside.
Okay, and how long has it been yellow? Is it just starting to turn yellow?
No, it's been kind of in poor shape for a while. I did put some palm fertilizer on it a few months ago, and it really hasn't turn the corner.
Okay. So there may be other things going on. So are you using a palm fertilizer?
And yes.
Okay. So palms are, they're not, you don't have to over fertilize them, but they're heavy feeders. They need to have those nutrients to stay nice and healthy. And so you need to fertilize on a consistent basis. Like if your fertilizer lasts 3 months, then every 3 months you have to fertilize it. And you have to make sure it gets those micronutrients. So how big is the pot it's in? Or is it in the ground?
Well, it's in the ground.
Okay.
But it's, I mean, you got a couple of heads. One of them's probably 8 feet.
Okay. All right. So you're going to have to fertilize that on a regular basis, and it's not going to happen very fast. So it takes about 2 to 3 months for plants to absorb the fertilizer. And okay. So when we see the symptoms, they should have been fertilized a while back. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
So it's going to take a little while to recover. So again, don't cut palm fronds leaves off, the fronds off, until they're completely brown, because they need every bit of that green, the photosynthesis, the chlorophyll in their fronds to be healthy. So are
even
you,
the one,
pardon me?
Even the ones that have turned yellow?
If they're completely yellow or brown, then you can cut them off. But if there's any green at all in the stem at all, do not cut them off just yet, because they will continue to go, but they're never going to recover to green. They're never going to turn green back again. So, I would just say you're going to need to fertilize on a regular basis and catch up. But make sure that your palm fertilizer has those micronutrients in it.
Hey, there was one thing I wanted to tell you. That
sure.
I was out in Arizona not too long ago, and I ran across a bougainvillea that a lot of the builders are using. It's called Torch Glow.
Yes.
And it's a smaller variety. And that, it might get 8 feet or something like that. Maybe not even that big.
Wow.
But they've been using a lot of that, and I've never seen anything like that around here. That would be really a godsend, because they do go crazy on you, and I don't like
they are. They're huge. They get to be 30, 40 feet tall. Yeah, so right. I would look at, I'll look for it, Torch Glow. I'll look for it. Thank you for the heads up. That'll be
right.
That would be really good. Thank you so much, Bill. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to say to everyone, we've got some really good text messages here. I'm going to go through real quick, but 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. The next hour, we have the famous Jenny Rose Carey, and she is just a delightful person. Think pink, and you think this is Jenny. She is just a pink kind of girl. And I'm looking so forward to talking with her. When we go to the Chelsea Flower Show, we meet her in London at the Flower Show. And she's always so delightful to meet. And touring her gardens is just, Northview is just incredible. So she's coming on. She has a new book. So I wanted to tell everybody about that. Just stay tuned. It's going to be a great talk. So Mike in Sarasota County says we're in a really red drought situation. And yes, you are. South Florida's really, we need more water down there. I'm currently enjoying two pots of calabacoas and two pots of geranium with alyssum that I put together a couple of weeks ago. That's wonderful. I love seeing your creative side, Mike. And they were also able to go to the Van Weasel and see Mannheim Steamroller in concert. He said they were fantastic. And I can remember that they're one of the favorite orchestras of our friend Rush. Agree. You know, I love Mannheim Steamroller. So that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Mike. I have Christine in Cairo, Georgia, or Cairo. Sometimes they have different pronunciations for them. But Christine, she has two tamarillo trees that I grew from seed. They're 1 year old and about 6 foot tall, very healthy, and potted in 25-gallon pots. When can she look for fruit? After 2 years, Christine, they should start producing fruit and have fruit for about 10 years. They don't like to be cold, so you're going to want to protect them. They don't like under 50-degree temperatures. So I would just keep them very protected, fertilize on a regular basis. Because you grew it from seed and it's not grafted, then it may take longer for the seeds to come. But if 2 years is about when they start to produce fruit. So thank you very much for the question. Thank you for listening in Georgia. Appreciate it. So Teresa Scott, Norman Beach. I have a very large overgrown Turk's cap hibiscus. This plant is great for attracting wildlife to my yard. Deer routinely come through the neighborhood and graze on the lower branches. And also the only time I've had hummingbirds in my yard was when they were enjoying the red flowers. I would like to propagate some new plants from my original one. What's the best way to do that? Wonderful. Okay. So get your pen and paper ready. And so Turk's cap, you can grow from the stem, okay, or you can divide it up at the base. If there's multiple plants coming up, you can cut a division of it off and just repot it, okay? It may go through a little bit of a shock. But if you want to also take about 8 inches to a foot, cut a stem, very light green, very flexible one. You don't want one that's woody. Get the stem and then cut it diagonally right below a leaf node, all right? Now you can either put it in some water, okay, and wait for some roots to start to develop, keep it out in the sun, keep it protected, don't let it freeze, and or you can put it in a potting soil with some good, not thick potting soil, but maybe some for like seed germination, has a little bit of organic material in it, very easy for the roots to push through. And I would do probably 4 to 5 of them, 6 of them at a time, and then you'll get 2 or 3 bushes. Some of them may not survive, but that's a great way to do it. If you need more instructions, you can just email me, and I will send them to you. Thank you so much. We're going to be right back with second hour, and we're going to be talking to Jenny Rose Carey. She is from Northview, her nursery, and she has the most beautiful large copper teapot water feature that always makes me swoon.
It's gorgeous.
Wonderful. I will post a photo of it today on our Facebook page. Thank you so much for listening. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
You can always go back and catch anything that you missed by going to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com, and our podcasts are all there.